meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Stryker is here filling in for Adam Carolla. Except Stryker. Oh, wait a minute. Stryker, is he going to join us?
Stryker!
Yeah. You think he might join us for the show? That would be nice. He's got a...
Here he is. Oh, here he is. He's coming in. Buddy. He's running in.
Unacceptable.
I go to the bathroom.
We're here with 311. Thank you very much.
Hello. No, wait, I can't hear.
Hello.
It's all right.
Yeah,
Loveline,
hey, Stryker, hey, Nick Axum, Ling, hey, Dr. Drew, Perez, Anderson, Carolla in Italy. Hey, sir, can you please buy me the big dildo? Easy with that, easy. Nick brought us a present tonight, well, at least I have one. It's a nice, lovely, tall can of a blue can of, what do you call these?
Butt ice. It's bigger than a tall boy. It's like a whole quart of beer in a can.
I'm so out of breath right now. I had to go to the bathroom since 7 o'clock.
He just ran back from a
and
nice
so
pee-pee.
I was in there, and I was going. I was like, come on, hurry, go, move it, fly out of this thing.
Come on. You should
flush. And I'm hearing the intro
flush,
to the show, right?
It'll, like, help you pee.
It does?
Because, yeah, no offense against him, but he's really wiener shy.
Yeah.
He can never pee if there's anyone around him.
The sound of rushing water helps him dilate.
Yep.
Got it. I need to breathe. What's up, Drew?
It's good, Stryker. How are you?
I'm good. You got to speak to an audience at Kodak Theater tonight?
Yeah,
what the
I
hell?
Did. Yeah, yeah.
What is that?
It was the organization of the county facility to get together, and they support kids that are coming out of the foster care system and going to college.
All right.
Really good.
I heard Kodak Theater. I thought, like, huge, even though that's a good thing that you did, but I was, like, thinking,
No. It was
famous
American Idol.
No.
No, I like real things.
All right. Well, the band 311, always on fire. I went to the 311 day in New Orleans. If you're around the country and you went, I was there. I was on stage. I was a big head. I think it was Jester.
Right. He was in the show.
Yes.
He was rocking for the whole show.
Yes.
And he came and party with us after the show. It was like a total of like 11 hours with Stryker.
And that's why I haven't seen you since, most likely.
I've been like,
is that
where
you guys fell in love?
Of
that's when you guys formed this...
No, he was in love with someone else, let me tell you.
What? Yeah, with Brian Ling. Oh, my goodness gracious. 311, okay, just as I was saying, on fire. The 311 day was crazy. Fans go nuts for you guys when you play live. Being live is your forte, I would say. That's how I think you guys gained your following. And you have a greatest hits CD, 93 to 03. It's coming out on June 8th. Is that right?
It's a 10-year retrospective on our career, and it contains all of our... It was hard because some people were like, are you going to make it a best of or greatest hits? And best of is so subjective, like, because then everyone would want to hear songs from the early albums and blah, blah, blah. So we were like, no, let's make it a greatest hits, whatever had highest chart position. That made it pretty easy to decide without a lot of, you know, infighting. And then we had two new songs, brand new songs, one called First Straw, another one called How Do You Feel? And also Love Song,
right?
So it's a big full CD, and we did a brand new remix of Homebrew,
nice,
from Grassroots, because we thought we could improve that mix vastly. So Chad, our drummer, mixed that. So it's something for part-time 311 fans as well as hardcore. So
if you're out there listening, you're a 311 fan and your local radio station is not playing the song First Draw, please call them and say what's wrong with you, because it is such a good song. And I actually played it tonight in my little Furious 509 here on K-Rock. Number 3, the song is great. Is that something that you've had in the back pocket, or did you write that specifically for the Greatest Hits CD?
I wrote it while we were on tour, and it was a... it was just done for fun. It was a... just like I was trying to think of a way to make reggae more up-tempo and more funky, and it's got that punk, and it's got that like syncopated beat where you hit that snare earlier than the two, and so it makes it funky, and then the song just grew from there. And then by the time I made all the different chord progressions, I hooked up with producer David Kahn, and of course he's famous from Sugar Ray. He did Sublime self-titled album, and he's done the past 3 Paul McCartney albums. So, I mean, he's just
cool.
He's incredible.
Should
and
we hear the song?
I was thinking, that's, okay, that's the best setup I've ever heard in my life for a song.
So we worked on this song, and I was like, this is like Beach Boys meets reggae. And he was like, no, actually, it's Motown meets reggae. And I was like, okay, I mean, of course, Motown was infiltrating my brain through my youth, as well as Beach Boys, so I guess it's the best way to describe it is
we'll be the
funky
judge.
Reggae
yeah?
meets Motown.
Funky reggae meets Motown. The song is called First Draughts from 311, and because of that fantastic setup, let's play it right now on Loveline. Check it out.
Phone rings, the way it feels when you just let it flow. Sometimes I wonder just how it can be to take care of it before we see it off the rails. I think that you should know, you never cease to amaze me. You keep me from going crazy, and that's one thing I know for sure.
That is called Last Straw. I mean, First Straw.
First Straw. I know.
First Straw 311. Listen to the standing ovation.
The point of it is like not to let the problems get to the last straw, but take care of it when it's the first straw. So it's actually like about sort of like relationship maintenance, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I love
it's
that.
Good.
Thank you.
Drew, you were even kind of bobbing your head to a song, which is great.
Last time we got Drew to bob his head, it was like the I'll Be Here A While acoustic version. It didn't appear on anywhere ever, you know?
We're also going to world premiere a remix that has never been heard by anybody. Nick brought it with him for Crack the Code.
Yeah,
which
completely
is
without permission from the label.
Good.
So.
Since you are in the band, the lead singer and writer, maybe you're allowed to do that, which we will a little bit later during Loveline. So let's grab some calls here. 1-800-LOVE-191. That's Nick from 311. Drew, I'm Stryker. And Heather, what's up? You're on Loveline.
Hi. How are
Hello.
You?
Good.
I have a question about male ejaculation.
Male ejaculation.
Thank God Nick is here.
It's interesting. I've never heard it qualified that way. We always think about female ejaculation because it's unique.
Right.
Male ejaculation needn't have a qualifier.
What do you want to know about it?
Well, I've always heard that when a male ejaculates, he has an orgasm with it.
No, it's the other way around.
When the orgasm creates the semen.
Now, he's always ejaculating, but sometimes it'll go back up into his bladder and caused by something called... Mike what?
Well, see, Mike...
I'm talking directly. How could I be closer than this?
No.
I'm going to make out with a mic. Listen, I've heard about people that can, like, squeeze off their urethra so hard that they keep the ejaculation from coming out and still have an orgasm, and so you can have multiples, but it like...
No. Either they don't have an orgasm or it goes back into the bladder. It's called retrograde ejaculation.
So then when you pee?
So it comes out when you pee.
But the point of holding it, by the way, is because when you let go at the right time, it's like holding a garden hose. You ever hold a garden hose, the water gets backed up, you let it go.
But Heather, he's having
that works with the penis.
It just crossed the room.
Yes, it does. Can poke an eye out.
Right.
Heather, retrograde.
What's your question?
Your
boyfriend. What do you want to know?
My boyfriend, he says that he can ejaculate, but he never has an orgasm. Therefore, he never wants to really have sex. And I want to have sex all the time, but he never does.
No, there's something wrong. Something's missing completely from
wrong.
The story.
Yes.
Is he on medication?
He was taking Wellbutrin for a while.
Yeah, that can cause retrograde ejaculation. And antidepressants sometimes can make you sort of not want to have sex, too. Although Wellbutrin is not one that typically does that.
But he's not on it anymore. But see, this has always been a problem for the past 4 years for us. Like, he never, like, it'll be a very rarity that he'll have an orgasm. He'll ejaculate, no problem, but he never has an orgasm.
That's
Wait a minute. Those things don't separate in the male.
He went to the doctor and got his testosterone test checked out and everything, but that's what he said.
He cannot ejaculate without an orgasm. That is the way the male is configured.
Do you understand that part?
Yeah.
If he's ejaculating, he's having an orgasm.
Maybe he's faking all these women we've heard about for so long.
He's faking.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Let me go to sleep. Good night.
Yeah, something's wrong with this, Heather. Something is really missing here. Is he around? We can talk to him?
No.
Put him on the phone.
He lives all the way in Maryland. I'm all the way in Virginia.
Why don't we put you on hold and get his phone number? I want to find this out.
Yeah, seriously. I'm with you. How old is he?
He's 21.
Do you think he's your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Do you think if we were to call him and ask about his girlfriend, he would say, "Oh, Heather"?
Yeah, of course.
In the Niagara Falls area.
Yeah, in the Washington D.C. area. Well, can we call him?
Oh well, he's kind of asleep right now. But I mean,
he won't mind.
No, he won't mind. Okay,
can someone work on that?
Yeah, number.
Grab Heather and get her phone number.
All right, we'll get back to that. The second they're calling, in the meantime, they'll get the number.
Yes,
that story's messed up.
I'll just run this show.
It's all right. Let him go.
All right.
He's free without the abusive partner I normally have here.
Exactly. Okay, let's go to an island. Let's go, Jennifer.
Julie,
you're 18. Julie.
All right, Jennifer.
All right, Jennifer. What's up?
Hey.
Hi.
First, I have a question for Nick, if that's all right.
Yeah.
First, I want to say thanks for visiting the 311 bulletin board more recently. We really appreciate that. And I was wondering
what you
guys...
He's had nothing to do. He's just been sitting around getting tan the last couple months. Exercising and tanning.
I love the BBers. I mean, they're just like so into it, and so am I. So anyway, go ahead.
All right. I was wondering what you guys are planning on doing after the summer tour. Are you going to go back into the studio or take some more time off, or what are you going to do?
I would think it's time to make new music. It's been a while since we've made new music, so even though we made two new songs for this new thing, it was like fun, and it was a great experience. And you know, we did a spring tour, and now we're going to do a summer tour, and then it's time to just stop and make new music. So, yeah.
Awesome.
What else you got, Jennifer?
All right. I have a friend who's 17 years old, and she is dating a 25-year-old who's a substitute teacher and assistant baseball coach at my school. And I'm just wondering what kind of trouble he could get into.
But he's not teaching your friend specifically.
Well, he has taught some of her classes. He's a substitute teacher.
That's, but not currently teaching any of her classes.
Right.
He would still get in a lot of trouble. I can't think of any school that would not have had some sort of explicit code of conduct that would exclude...
Well, it's common sense not to date your students, first of all,
but
right?
But he would say, well, this is not really my student because I'm not directly in contact with her. But the fact is, students, people who go to the school do not interact with people that work at the school. That's it, period.
Drew, you're killing me with your writing over there. Seriously.
Why?
I don't know why. It's distracting horribly. Give me the...
You're like Corolla.
No, but he's right. But he's right. But he's right. Like, if you're entrusted with... position of authority, you're not allowed to date the students because your parents are turning over the kids into the authority of these teachers, and they're
but more than that,
not supposed to want to bang him.
It's an exploitation of his position. And girls that go for that, the guys that are in these positions of authority, usually are girls that have had problems with dad, frankly. The people who've been entrusted in their care in the past who've abused that, they now become good victims for the guys that continue to abuse those sorts of relationships.
I guarantee if you ask the 25-year-old substitute, who are you dating? He's not going to say... I mean, he's maybe, you know, the 17-year-old may say they're dating, but they're not. That's not officially dating. I wonder if they're sleeping together. But plus, isn't that illegal? 25 and 17.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Julie. No, Stacy. Julie. Stacy. Stacy, what's up? Yeah. You're 27 on Loveline.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm a musician, or I've always wanted to be a musician. And I have this fear of performing. I think it's because when I was younger, my mother always kind of put me on the spot and always wanted people to, you know, see my talent. She was so proud of me and everything. So I've kind of been afraid to follow my dream because of that. And when I try and perform, I kind of get real nervous. So I'm wondering if there's something, I don't know, like Wellbutrin or something that helps people
be
more.
No, I can speak on this subject because, like, if you don't want it so bad that you are just willing to just, like, go for broke and just push people out your way,
yeah,
it's probably not going to happen. It's probably
no. Well, I do want it. I do want it so badly, but it's like this wall that I'm trying to break through. Do you know what I'm saying?
Then you need to look inside yourself and say yes.
I made myself.
Stacy, quiet for 1 second. You got the lead singer of a multi-million selling band telling you. Quiet.
What I'm saying.
I can't hear on the phone. I'm sorry.
Okay. What I'm saying is that, yeah, maybe you may be nervous, but you're going to say, I'm going to do it nervous. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to go for it. I'm going to freak the F out and just rock it tonight. And you just got to go for it. And if you're not really prepared to do that, then you're going to get lost in the shuffle because everybody wants to be a recording artist. And so, really, you are just getting past, like, step one to even get past this thing. And so you just better go crazy. I don't care if you have to take a couple shots of Jack Daniels or what you have to do, but you got to go effing crazy when you
right.
go out there
well,
and do
I've
that.
Well, I've tried that, and I didn't know how healthy that was for me. You know, and it really does help me relax. And when I get out there, I mean, all my friends support me. Everybody who hears me supports me. You know, I got...
But your friends and you, this, that, whatever, it has to go so much bigger. Like... To get signed on a label, it has to be, like, such a no-brainer. Like, it has to be, like, you have everything covered from vocal talent to looks to songwriting to everything so completely covered
right.
that you just, like, they have to sign you or they don't, or, you know, or they're stupid. You can't just be, like... Well, please forget about all these other things that I don't have covered. You have to go for it.
Well, I have... That's the thing.
Stacy, Stacy, not listening.
No.
Busy talking, not listening.
I was listening.
That's rule number one.
Yeah.
Just sit down, put your butt down, start listening, and then do what he tells you. And if it's going to be alcohol, if she's going to use chemicals to deal with this, there are chemicals that are more appropriate, like beta blockers, things like that. But I don't think she should do that if she can overcome it the way... Nick is suggesting she should.
Angel, what's up? You're 16 on Loveline.
Yeah, I want to know why when me and my girlfriend have sex or she gives me head, I'm not able to come.
She's probably... I was going to say, maybe she's not doing
Does
it correctly.
Does she know the twist?
Yeah.
The twist?
I believe it's called the cup and twist. Cup, twist.
If she spits on both hands and twists and while it's in her mouth, then really there should be no problem.
Have you instructed her what
I have not said
good,
anything that is going to upset any Clear Channel FCC, George Bush, right-wing Republican buttheads. I'm just saying. Spit on your hands and twist.
No, he don't spit on his hands.
No, you have your girl do it. Angel, you got to tell her how you like it. And
no, here's the deal. He doesn't have orgasm.
Huh? She's not doing it perfectly.
No. He doesn't have orgasm.
Can you get yourself off?
Yeah.
But not with a person.
I mean, like, if she does it with her hand, I can get off, but, like,
only
with
a hand.
Way, I can't.
Well, that's Nick gave a hand technique that might help there.
Yeah, she needs to work on her technique.
But okay. Oftentimes, just the anxiety of things, you know, it's, some of this can be a sort of a, well.
That technique, though, truly is golden.
Overwhelming.
It is the best technique. Drew, you like the technique?
But
seriously, you've got a lot of experience,
Drew.
Man. USC doctor.
You've got to talk about yourself sometimes.
That's stuff we did in medical school all the time.
Were there hot girls in medical school? Or were you combing the film students, you know, combing that area?
No, we were on a different campus. Are you kidding?
Oh, really?
Basically, you need her to get it to the point of where it's a milking machine. Where, like, if you were a cow, there would be no choice but to, like, let the milk out. You know, it's just like everything is hitting. Bam, bam, bam. All 6, 7, 8 inches are just like, bam, just stimulated.
Speak for yourself. 9, 10, 11. All right, where are we going,
Drew? So he gets so overwhelmed being with a person, it freaks him out.
So anxiety can really, you know,
right.
put a damper on things.
Are we going to Julie, speaking of that? What's going on, Julie? You're 21.
Hi, how's it going?
Everything is lovely.
My question is, I've been seeing my boyfriend for about 3 months now, and we're in a really committed relationship. We're probably going to be together for a long time. And whenever I go down on him, which is something that he really likes me to do, I always wind up gagging really badly. And I was wondering if this is something that I can kind of get over.
Have you ever vomited?
I'm sorry?
Have you ever vomited?
You ever puked on it?
No, I've stopped myself before I actually puked.
Why don't you just not go down as far on the unit?
All right, let me get back to the point I was saying earlier. If you spit on both hands and get a reverse twist, and all you need is the tip in your mouth. You don't need to just do it with your mouth. It's a hand, two hands and mouth thing.
Thank you.
Is he making himself clear, Julie?
I'm sorry?
Is he making himself clear?
Yeah, he is. And the thing is that, I don't know, I just don't have a lot of experience with it because he was kind of my first.
No, I mean, is Nick making himself
clear? Let me make it more clear. You spit on your right hand. You spit on your left hand. You put your hands on it.
You need to get it. Now, you know, what are those wrenches called that fit into the socket wrench, basically?
Yeah.
You have one going one way and the other going the other way, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, you're turning both ways. So it's just like freaking his mind. And all you really need to do is have the head in your mouth.
And as funny as this is sounding, he's exactly right. Oh, girls, use it that way. Your guy will go nuts. I go nuts when it's done to me. Like that.
We don't need to know that story.
There's a lot of girls. There's a lot of girls who are ill-informed, such as yourself.
Right.
So all you girls out there in Radio Land, learn the reverse twist. You don't have to deep throat. You just need the head in your mouth, and then your guy will be just happy as a clam.
Or you can go rent old school and get the lesson from Andy Dick when he gives the oral sex instructions. And Andy Dick's coming in here, I think, tomorrow night, by the way.
I just wanted to see the wet pink stick.
Good segue right there.
In the meantime, though, we're going to take a break.
We are going to take a break. Nicholas
Hexum, too much fun,
from the band 311 is here, and we got more Love Line coming up after this. Yeah! All right, we are back on Love Line. This is the best Love Line so far. I've learned so much about technique, or actually, I've known the technique, but I was never able to convey it like Nick Hexum from 311 conveyed BJ techniques to the gentleman. And there is an unbelievable follow-up call here from Stephanie, who is 16. What's up, Stephanie?
Hey. Okay, well, first of all, I wanted you guys to explain that whole technique thing, because it sounds like a good idea.
Okay.
And
it's easy.
Well, hold on, Nick. Yes?
Why?
Let's
do
this.
Because it's not fun.
Listen.
Wait, she has a reason for it, though.
There's nothing fun about it.
Shut up.
Like, I just want to get it done faster.
Well, then you're really not in love with your partner. You're really not wanting to, like, swallow his jism.
Easy, Nick, easy.
That is not one of the words that is illegal.
You're not
anyway.
You're actually not allowed to talk about genitalia or sexual acts.
Anyway, what I'm saying, you spit on the right hand, you spit on the left hand, you grab it, and all you need to do is put the head in your mouth and then twist, and then just keep doing that.
That's what's confusing me.
Kind of like turning a screwdriver if you were holding it, just if you were gripping it with the screwdriver part down and you were just twisting just about less than 180 degrees to the right with one hand, and then the opposite way
and
with the other.
And the more slobber, the better. You want this thing to be a slimy, just
yeah,
like...
I know, but doesn't that look kind of awkward?
Who cares how it looks? It's about look? The feel.
What are you talking about, look?
I don't know.
I'm talking about getting off here. What are you talking about?
Okay.
I love the, yeah. And plus, the guy isn't looking. He's looking at the ceiling or his eyes are closed, okay?
Or he's looking
I've
in your
never,
eyes
never,
thinking
I've
how much he loves you.
Before. I've never looked up before, so.
All right. Well, alrighty. Try the technique. Call back Loveline when Adam's back, and I'll be listening, and I'll know
21.
If it works. Yes.
Okay, I'll let you know how it goes.
Please do. Okay.
Good luck. Bye.
All right. Where are we going, Drew? Molly, what's up? You're 19.
Nothing. Okay.
Okay. Good. We'll
okay.
See you later.
Next.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about tonight. Well, I've been like having problems with my sexual preferences and like my masturbation because.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
Do what?
Were you sexually abused growing up?
No, never.
You had no trauma or anything.
Unless you're counting like me sexually abusing myself.
No, I'm talking about you, even with another peer.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I was just, anyways. Like, sometimes when I masturbate and everything, I wouldn't have a hard time getting off and everything. But here recently, after I've experienced with another girl, I, like, haven't been able to get off when I think about guys. And I really like guys a lot more than I do girls.
How do you know, then? Like, I mean, isn't the fact that you can get off on girls, just doesn't that tell you something?
A lot of heterosexual women think about women, though, because that sort of is what's sexual.
I just don't understand, like, what's going on, you know? I'm kind
of when did you believe you had a sexual orientation problem? Just when you started having these fantasies?
I've been having since I was probably 14 or 15.
But the fantasies are what cause you to believe that you've got a confusion. You never act on these fantasies.
No, she's been with a girl.
Yeah, I've been with a girl.
I see.
Like, okay. 3 weeks ago.
And that was good, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, well, there you
okay,
go.
There you go.
But I just, like, would like to know whether I could be able to do that with a girl in the future and why I can't exactly get off thinking about men. Is it because my last partner was a girl or...
Well, maybe you're more into girls.
I think you're... Molly, and I was also going to say, I think you're overthinking it just because you're with the girl. I mean, you're only 19. You don't really... I mean, you seem... I don't know. You seem somewhat normal to me on the phone right here. Like,
yeah.
I think being with a girl and thinking about it is cool, but you like guys at the same time, but at some point I guess you're going to have to decide which way you're going to go, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to figure out.
Kind of declare a major?
Yes.
Declare a major.
It'll sort itself out, my dear.
It probably will.
Don't fret.
But Molly, you got to look at what might be confusing you. Is it just that you're a lesbian, you're having trouble coming to terms with that? Or did you have some sort of trauma that makes you your orientation scrambled, makes it difficult for you to figure out what you are?
Well, I've never had really much of a trauma before.
Okay. Well, then maybe you're gay and having trouble really landing that fact, coming to terms with it.
Allie, 15, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fine.
Okay, first of all, I just wanted to tell Dr. Drew that you really taught me and helped me a lot, so thank you. My question is kind of confusing, so I'm just going to start off. My parents are divorced, and both parents, my mom and dad, are abusive towards me in a few different ways. It can be verbally abusive, emotionally.
Oh, we lost her.
Right now I live with my mom, and I've heard you, Drew, say in the past that what saves you from what kind of saves you is having an outside relationship outside the family with an adult, kind of like a mentor.
Positive, sustained positive relationship.
Right. And when I live with my mom, I really have that with a friend of hers.
Okay.
So that has become my godfather, and he really, really takes care of me and loves me a lot and cares about me and the way my parents don't, you know, and really takes care of me.
He doesn't touch you in your private parts.
Not at all.
There, then you're good. So what's the problem?
My question was, I am thinking right now, where I live with my mom, I am very isolated, and I'm thinking that I'm going to be needing to move in with my dad because I'll be surrounded by my friends and I'll be able to go to a regular school, but I won't have that mentor outside of the family, and I'm worried about it.
Wow, what a tough decision.
Yeah, it's really hard, and I can't tell you how.
Where does your dad live?
He lives in Los Angeles.
And where does your mom live?
She lives in the mountains, in Mammoth.
And that's where the man is, up in Mammoth.
Yes.
Can't you go up there and form a new peer group, start over and get some new friends going and really get going up there? That's what you ought to
do. That's really hard.
Really hard. It's really hard, but it's really what you need to do.
Yeah, the kids up in Mammoth aren't, like, as cool, but so what?
Really? I think they'd be cooler.
You think that's what I need to do is stay there?
Yeah, just...
But you got to really make a job out of having a life with your peers.
Yeah, deal with the circumstance that's most conducive to a healthy life for you.
Just the way you found a nice supportive adult out there, you got to find a beginnings of a peer group and then build it out. There's no doubt you will find people that care about you up there. Just no doubt.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you so much.
All right, good luck.
Okay, bye.
All right, Carrie, what's up? 18.
Carrie.
Is he sleeping?
You're blowing it. Next.
I'm going to ask the question.
How do you select the opening bands for your tours?
Nick.
Me. What? Can't the guy talk?
Where is Carrie? He? Nope.
We pick bands that we think will be emotionally and intellectually stimulating for our fans, yet also provide a good draw. I'm not going to lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, let me take this summer tour we've got going. We've got 311 headlining with the Roots opening, and the Roots are the 311 of the rap world. And then we've got Medeski and Martin and Wood opening the whole show. This is going to be the funkiest show that there has been in a long time. And you know what? You know, I'm not one to bitch, but Rolling Stone has not mentioned our tour, and Spin has not even mentioned our tour. But let me tell you, this is going to be a badass tour. It's going to go, because Medeski and Martin Wood, they're like a funk trio that, like, remember Check Your Head, Beastie Boys, like they did those funk instrumentals. Like, this is that, but it's got like jazz players that play this stuff to the hilt, and like, which is incredible. And then the Roots come on, and they take it up to the next level. And then 311 comes on and takes it up to the next level. I'm, like, so psyched about our summer tour.
It kicks off June 18th in Santa Barbara. You hit cities like Vegas, Milwaukee, Boston, Charlotte, Kansas City. You can go to the 311 website and see when they're going to come near you, and go check out 311. If you've never seen it before, you must go. You're going to be instantly won over after the first song. It's
crazy.
You want
to hear that remix before we go to break?
I say we do it right when we come back from break. We're going to world premiere a song here on Loveline. It's the Crack
world
the Code
premiere
remix. And I think we'll get into it, who did it, why, and all that when we get back. Go ahead.
All right, we'll talk about that when we get back.
Okay, is that it? Okay, good. We'll be back Loveline with Nick Hexum from 311 after this. All right, we are back here on Loveline. That's 311 music right there. Creatures, parentheses, for a while.
That's right. And that came from a poster off my friend's. He was a skinhead, and he had this poster on his wall, and it was, like, so, like, vicious, and it had, like, guy.
Hey. All right, that's Nick from 311. You can give him the bill for this, and I'll never be back. It's Loveline with Jerome Stryker. Adam's in Italy, by the way, and we're hanging out. And on that note, the skinhead had the thing on the wall, but I want to play a song. It is called Crack the Code. It's so good. Nick is punching himself in the forehead right now, literally.
He's going to start puking on you next year. Careful.
Yeah, he's going to start doing the cup and twist on us as well. All right, Nick, give us a quick intro to this world premiere we're going to do for Crack the Code.
Crack the Code is a song that was originally made by me, and then I sent it to my friend down in Miami. His name is Super Dupes, and he is one of the baddest dance hall producers in the whole world. And he makes beats for Sean Paul and anybody that you can name that's hot in dance hall.
Name Paul.
And so anyway, he made this beat for us, and so this is a version of our song, Crack the Code, that uses the drum beats, the loops, instead of, like, the natural playing. So anyway, here it is.
There
it's
we
crack
go.
The code.
Crack the code on Loveline.
Premiere,
Crack the Code, Remix 311.
And let me tell you about the guy that remixed it. Neil Pogue, he mixed Hey Ya by Outkast,
right.
And like Waterfalls by
TLC.
I mean, he is just like all over the map. He is like the king of mixing, and he has had so many hit after hit. And him and me are like tight buds. We've been working on my girls' project,
right?
And then we did this thing, and it was like, it was so much fun for us. It happened all in one afternoon, and he's great.
Is it too late to put that as a bonus track on the best of greatest hits 311?
It's gonna be like through iTunes.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can like,
so I can get it from iTunes and put it on my iPod.
Yeah,
right? Okay.
iTunes, iPod, yeah,
there you go.
All that stuff.
All right, let's go to Amber. Her name is Amber, Nick. She's 25. What's up, Amber?
What's up? I just wanted to know, well, it's kind of obvious, I kind of know, but I got nervous and I had to ask a question. So
Yeah, it was where Nick gets inspiration for the song Amber.
Amber's the color, my inspiration, right? Was...
It was actually Nicole, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Is that the end of your question?
No, I wanted to tell you that I'm going to the Santa Barbara show.
Okay.
And the week after that, I'm going to go to Long Beach.
All right, see you there.
Nice. Uh-oh. Freaky. Toby, what's going on? You're 24.
Yeah, I have a question. My husband, he keeps saying that I'm an alcoholic.
Right.
Why?
Oh, jeez.
Because I guess he thinks I drink too much, but I mean, I don't think I drink too much.
How many days a week do you drink?
It doesn't matter. To be an alcoholic, all you have to do is have a family history and have alcohol use in the face of adverse consequence. And if it's screwing up your relationship, and if you...
No, it's not screwing up my relationship.
Well, it sounds like it
is. Are you drunk right now?
No.
Seriously.
You sound,
honestly.
No.
You sound loaded.
No.
Yeah. And, well, then I'm even more concerned then, because that means that the residual effects of whatever you've been doing are still with you. But be that as it may, it's simply defined not by how much you drink or how often you drink, but by the consequences. And the fact that your husband is distressed means that the relationship is affected by this.
Well, so he doesn't seem distressed. He just kind of says it jokingly, but he says it a lot.
No.
Well, if it's has you concerned enough to call us here, then maybe you should take a look at it. And if it's messing your relationship with your husband, maybe you should slow down on it.
Yeah, just take a break. Like, see who's in charge. You or the alcohol. Take 2 weeks. 2 weeks. No alcohol. That's our prescription. And Dr. Drew is backing me on this.
Well,
2 weeks, no alcohol. See if you can do it.
But there's a rule of thumb also.
Not entirely. Did you hear him squeeze that?
There's a rule of thumb in our work, which is that if a woman is an alcoholic needing treatment, that means the husband's an alcoholic too.
Mm.
So that means he's drinking pretty good also, right?
No.
Where's my bourbon?
No, he doesn't smoke pot or drink or anything?
No.
Well, then maybe she's not.
Well, on the weekends he does, on Saturdays.
Drew, if you don't drink every day, you can still be an alcoholic.
Absolutely.
So it's just based on the consequences
Absolutely.
From your drinking.
It's family history, consequences, denial. That's
wow.
it.
Okay.
Just show us 2 weeks
of complete non-drinking
and see how hard it is. If it's really hard, then you're going to know you have a problem.
There you go.
Right. All right, let's
Pretty
go.
Simple experiment.
Nate, what's up, Nate? You're 20.
What's going on, man? Hey, 311. Oh, you guys are awesome. I love you guys. Hey, well, my question is, I got two questions, really. All my friends but one do coke heavily, and they always try to get me to do it.
Right. What you waiting on, dude? Come on.
No,
I'm just kidding. I really think that's evil drug.
Well, yeah, I know.
Let me tell you, that is something that will sap your soul when you're not looking, and you will really regret doing that. So
I'm fully aware of that. Like my dad, I
good
just
for you for staying away from it. That's what I'm saying. Good for you.
Your dad's cocaine
addict? That's what my mom left him over. So I just don't know how to tell them. I said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't care. I smoke weed. All right, yay.
All right. Like a lot of weed, too. a lot of weed. Man, it's enough to give you chronic bronchitis.
Hey, my second question is, I was skating one day, and I crashed, and I hit the corner of a metal ledge, and I tore my butt.
Tore it.
Okay, he's got a torn butt. Yeah, what's your question?
I'm just too embarrassed to go to the doctor.
I just wanted to announce the torn butt is all.
Okay, yeah. Go get it stitched
Can't
up.
Put the
Next
coke
question.
In,
keep
in
going. Let's go.
Here's
keep
the deal,
thing
Nate.
Going.
The thing that's going to get you, Nate, is the pot's going to eventually sort of stop working. Eventually, it's not going to work. And when the pot starts letting you down, and when you smoke a lot more to try to get the effects back, you're going to fall into a phase that happens with every marijuana user, as we get depressed and have difficulty and start searching around for solutions to that. That's when the stimulants will kick in.
Paige.
We actually have to take a break.
Oh, we do? Oh. Yeah. 10:53 already. All right, we're going to take a break here on Loveline. Nick from 311 is here. We're going to get some more apple juice, possibly orange
bourbon.
Juice. Exactly. It's right under the table here. We'll be back on Loveline. Hold on. I got 99 problems and drinking ain't one. Hit me! Nick Hexum, 311 Loveline.
What up?
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
What have you been doing today since 2, 3, 4 o'clock?
Let's not talk about today. Let's talk about the past... few
right
weeks. The fast past few weeks, I've been in the Florida Keys for right. 10 days.
Nice.
And I was, oh man, we had the time of our life. And I came home from L.A. for like 2 days. Then I went to Hawaii.
Nice.
And my girl's uncle took me out fishing, and I caught
11
aku.
Wow.
These are big, huge tuna. And we reeled them in, and like,
the line was going, so fun.
And then
you didn't do it.
We got them all up into the boat, and we sliced them up into sashimi and ate those suckers while they were just like,
wow,
freshly dead. And
are those also known as mahi-mahi, or that's something totally different?
No.
Those are those green fish.
These are like ahi, but they're aku. They're a different form of tuna.
Got it. All right. Paige, what's up? You're 20 on Loveline.
Yeah, I like listen to the show every single night, and I remember I remember a few months ago Dr. Drew saying that if a girl can't have an orgasm with a guy and she starts using a vibrator, it'll like ruin her for him. And she'll start.
I said it might decrease her sensitivity a little bit, but then she can always bring that into the mix.
So by using it with the guy there.
Yeah, don't be afraid to just like bring in instruments. You know, it's cool.
Okay, well, I was just worried that if I started doing it with just the vibrator and like I wouldn't ever be able to get it with the guy.
Have you ever been able to have an orgasm with a guy?
No.
No, that's probably not going to happen anyway with intercourse. Not without a vibrator anyway. And oral sex is something you'll still be able to probably appreciate even with using the vibrator.
Some girls are frontal and some girls are, you know,
internal.
Can a guy do it so much that it becomes hard to have one when you're with the girl because you're so used to how you do it to yourself?
What?
And then once you slow down with that and you're with the person, then it becomes a lot easier.
What do you
think? Seriously.
Did you masturbate so much that you get stuck doing, you're used to doing that?
That you're not used to it, but you're used to your own feeling.
Yeah, there are guys
feeling.
Don't do that.
What's that?
I hope that's not you, Striker. I couldn't hang with you.
I'm not saying that's happened to me, but I do know this guy who's the assistant manager at the movie theater.
Where's Adam Carolla when we need him?
He's in Italy, you bastard. All right, Samantha.
Italian bastard.
22.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I've got this problem with a friend of mine. She's 19, and I think she's like 26 or 27 weeks pregnant. And it was an unplanned pregnancy, and she was doing all sorts of things in the beginning of her pregnancy that she really didn't need to be doing. And at least twice.
For example, drug use?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Hardcore drugs.
Go ahead.
She laid off of that, but at least twice a week I see her drunk, and I'm talking about like passed out or puking, hanging out of someone's car window, and she will not stop for anything. You can't talk to her because she just tells you to go to hell.
Is she trying to kill the child?
I really don't think so. I think that she just doesn't know how to deal with it. She's smoking a lot of marijuana, too, because she says it does away with morning sickness.
All right, and, this is child abuse.
And she's already tested positive for, like, cerebral palsy or Down syndrome. It's some sort of complication with the baby already. And
all you can really do is take her to the web and talk about, you know, show her what happens from fetal alcohol syndrome, number one. But number two, I think you ought to notify people that can bring some force to bear because this is child abuse.
She can be charged with that now even though the baby's inside.
I'm worried about her because I really wouldn't want her to get into trouble. She's had a hard life. You know, Arkansas is not very good for jobs or anything. She can't find a job, no money. But it's just, it's getting worse.
She's abusing
really
the child, Samantha. She's really doing some horrible stuff here. you've got to talk to somebody.
Okay.
All right. You got to notify somebody because this is out of hand behavior.
Okay.
There are places that do specialize in treating women that are pregnant and addicts.
Is the baby already pretty much screwed though? Because
it's hard to tell. It certainly could be.
And if it's not, you could stop it right now. So definitely do something. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, Jane. Number three, Drew. Number three. What's up, Jane? You're 23.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
I am wondering, me and my friend were talking, and she says that her boyfriend was asking her about anal sex, and my husband has also asked me about it, and I want to know, if guys say that they're straight, why do they want it so bad?
It's kind of because it's on our checklist. It's not that we like it, but it's something to do. Have you done anal? No, but once you do it, not asking you. That's what guys say to other guys.
Guys have a sexual checklist of things they need to check off first.
Exactly.
Number one. Number two, I think pornography has jaded or affected men in some weird way.
And then number three, I think it's existed since the time of Pluto.
Of course, but here's the deal, Jane. Homosexual men don't engage in anal sex. That's an uncommon behavior for homosexuals. Okay. So your notion that it hooks with homosexuality is not accurate.
What are you talking about?
Homosexuals engage in oral sex, mutual oral sex.
They also must have anal sex.
No, uncommonly. Uncommonly.
I wouldn't know, but what percent of gay men?
Less than 30%, I'd say.
Really?
Less than 30, probably. And so there's nothing characteristic about that. Maybe, you know, it's a lower number. But, again, heterosexual.
It's just a curiosity that he has, probably.
Definitely.
I think it's a little misogynistic impulse, too. A little aggression in it.
Yeah. Well, you're in total control, and they have to sit there completely still.
Both of you guys came up with it.
Push your head against the mattress.
All right. I think somewhere in men there's a sort of a subtle or not so subtle desire to kind of, and overpower is almost not a strong enough word, like hurt women with their genitalia a little bit. Not an overt desire to do that, but some sort of subtle thing that's being acted out through this anal sex preoccupation.
Are you going to give in, Jane? Are you going to do it? Do you want to do it? Are you curious at all yourself?
Well, I thought about it, and we were actually going to try it, but then we got interrupted, and then it just didn't work out.
Let him start with the finger.
There you go.
True. And if you're, like, really scared about it, it's never going to work.
Astroglide. The password is Astroglide.
Then it may work. Jake. Is that true?
I don't know.
Yes, true. Come on, you know. You got that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Jake, you're 21. What's going on? You're on Loveline.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Yeah, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Three times I've been with a girl. The first time, I always have a hard time getting it up, and I really don't know what the deal is with that.
First time you're
hot?
With
her, you're gay.
Yeah, she's hot and everything. Like,
wait, it happened just one time?
You're gay.
True.
Every time I get with a girl the first time,
yeah,
I have a hard time getting it up, and okay. I can't really keep it up once I have it up.
Nerves. And that surprises you?
Yeah, I just don't know what that's about. I'm kind of freaking out about
it. Anxiety, that's nervousness. And it's also something called anticipatory anxiety. It's like thinking it makes it so. You're so convinced it's going to happen, and you're freaked out.
So the brain can really play tricks on your wiener down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not with me, though. Mine is fine, Drew.
Yeah, so Jake, no, that's very common. Very common. So no big deal.
All right, where are we going here?
Let's look at this. Sean.
What's up, Sean?
Hey. First off, I want to say, Dr. Drew, I love your show. I've listened for years, and I really appreciate what you're doing, helping a lot of people.
My pleasure.
Problem I've got is I've got a person that I'm seeing right now, and she's trying to get back with her abusive boyfriend. She knows he's abusive and so on. She has the bruises.
I'm translating. I'm into this girl.
I like her so much.
Why would she do this?
Yes. Sounds like a class act.
Well, the thing, you know, I'm not so much into the girl. I mean, we haven't been going out for that long. We haven't slept together.
There
That's
you
not
go.
A big
would
deal.
You wish you were? You wish you were.
Oh.
Move on.
She can't deal with a nice
Next.
Guy. She can't deal with an available guy. She had been abused as a kid. Abuse is what forms attraction in her brain, and that's all she's going to be good for right now is abusive, unavailable a-holes.
And a macho slap around guy.
Even if
if you're not that guy, well, then be glad that you're not.
Even
if you're going to make some girl
even
happy
if she
one day.
Finds refuge with you, it will be only to sabotage things as things move along.
I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm trying to find some way of pointing out to her what a bonehead mistake this is and how to get her to change her locks and correct her ways. You know, is there any way?
Give up.
Sean, what makes you think you're not being that guy? You are being that guy. This you embody it. You define it. Your face is there in the dictionary. You are the guy. You are the nice guy who is trying to change her. It's somebody who's into abusive relationships. She has a long-standing pattern. A team of therapists would
and
take 3 years to
change this. And
she's
way more into the other guy than you, and I'm sorry to say that.
And she's
that,
always
going to
be
true.
Into guys like that, Sean.
Yeah, like I said, if she spends any time with you and starts a relationship, it will only be to sabotage it.
So, goodbye.
You don't understand that, and honestly, you're not her therapist. You're not her life coach. You're not going to change this woman.
Move on.
Not going to happen.
Just cut her off.
Nick, I thought you were going to hit a wall a second ago. You're right back at it now. You're all good, aren't you? You're feeling good, right?
Second wind.
Because I thought after hour one, you're just going to be in the corner, maybe in the bathroom, maybe outside. No, no way. No, seriously, you're going strong.
I'm all into it. I'm getting ready to plug my brother and his
I would save that for after the show if you know what I mean.
Okay. All right.
Chad, you're 23. Plug your
What's up, Chad, 23?
Yeah, I'm 23. Well, I had some questions for Dr. Drew about ecstasy use. Mm-hmm. I've been using it a lot lately, and I'm concerned what it's doing to my health and to my sexual functionality, basically.
How much is a lot?
Well, a couple times a week, and the last time that I did it, I had 3.5 pills, who the person who sold them to me said they were double-stacked, whatever that means. I had 3.5, and I also smoked some pot and drank a lot of beer and stuff, so I was pretty messed up, and I was just wondering is...
Good luck. See ya.
I can answer this for you, Chen. I've heard Drew say it. Two drugs you must stay away from that could kill your brain cells or do, LSD and ecstasy. Drew, take it from there.
Yeah, those are the two. And many times the symptoms don't develop for a long time after you've stopped using. You'll start getting... Well, first of all, you have memory problems, and that will show up a few years down the road. Next thing that starts happening is this will happen in the short term, is you'll start not being interested in socializing all of a sudden. You're just the kind of guy who wants to go out and do stuff with people. All of a sudden, you want to kind of stay home. Then you'll start freaking out about going outside and having panic attacks. Then you'll get extremely anxious all the time and then profoundly depressed. And that depression will stay with you permanently.
Social anxiety.
Is it probably worse that I'm on Prozac right now, too?
No, not worse. Not worse.
It should help with your...
Yeah, there's some theory that it might help a little bit, but it's never been shown, proven. But it's probably the reason you are on Prozac is because you are an addict and using drugs, and that's further depleting your chemistry. And every drug user is depressed. So,
You need to move into the next phase of your life that's not going to involve what you're doing now. I mean, come on, man.
Just stop.
Are you a man or you're a mouse? Come on, let's just grow up and just do your thing.
That should be the name of your next record, by the way. Are you a man or are you a mouse? No?
Are you a modest mouse?
There you go. All right, Brenna.
Hi.
Hello, 15 on Loveline.
Yeah, my question is that I keep finding myself in abusive types of relationships, and I was wondering how I could break away from them.
Did your dad abuse you?
No.
Anybody?
I was raped when I was 12.
Mm. What happened when you were younger? Were you abandoned or something?
What?
Neglected or abandoned, something like that?
No, not really, no.
Hmm, and you were raped when you were 12. So what happened before that? What set you up to be a good victim?
I was just like, I don't know, I was in a long 2.5-year relationship.
No. What set you up to be a victim? Were you physically abused? Someone hit you when you were growing up?
No.
No one ever struck you with an object or anything?
No. Like, my parents have never hit me before.
Okay. And were they around the whole time you were growing up? They weren't neglectful or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, my dad moved when I was like 3, but then my stepdad moved in when I was 4, so.
And why did your dad leave?
My mom and my dad had problems.
What was happening?
I don't really know. I can't really remember. They just did.
Was there violence in the home, something like that?
No.
Is your your biological dad an addict?
He's bipolar.
Okay, so what was happening in the home that made him leave by the time you were 3? What do you think? I'll look into that a little bit, because something happened in there. I guarantee it. Okay?
You guys are getting so deep, and we're trying to, cover, 13 calls in, the next 15 minutes.
No, it's time we spend a little time with Brenda here. Because she's had some serious life.
You're being abused by girls or boys?
Like, it doesn't matter, whatever relationship I find myself in right now.
Are you bi?
Yeah.
Girls are abusing you?
15, Brenna, 15, confusion about your sexual orientation.
Really short hair.
Lay off the relationships until 18, maybe.
In abusive relationships and confused about your orientation, that adds up to a lot of abuse growing up. It just does. Now, I understand you got teenage abuse, so you were sexually abused and raped and whatnot as a teenager, but it suggests something really happened before that, too. And what that does, you may not even have explicit memories about it, but it leaves implicit imprints on how your brain wires. And that seems to really be there right now. And that's why you're attracted to these people. That's why you. That's what forms the sort of source of the attraction at your age now. And you have to kind of go after people that are not so exciting, not so interesting, not so attractive.
Got it, Brenna?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. She wasn't listening to you.
Helpless, yeah.
I was. I learned. Chris, let's go to you. He's 21. What's going on?
Yeah, I actually have two questions. My first question is, I'm
you're
wondering, gay. There have been a couple times where I've been having sex with my girlfriend, and so I'll climax, I'll be having sex with a condom on, and I'll come, and then I'll keep going for a few more minutes. I'm able to, like, stay hard and keep going for a few more minutes until she climaxes, and the condom's never broken, but I'm wondering how much of, like, of a percentage... Like, how much more of a risk it is for the...
Way more.
Way more?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it could slide out the side, right?
That, it could slide, it could slip off, and it can break.
Yeah.
That kind of move around.
Okay. And my other question is, a good friend of mine, every once in a while, does a pretty decent amount of DXM, like Robitussin.
Mm-hmm. And, boring bit.
And?
And I'm wondering... like, I don't know much about, like, side effects of that, but...
Basically, think of it as methadone combined with PCP. That's basically the biological systems it's activated. It's a robo-tripping, taking cough syrup in large doses. And if it's a dissociative, like PCP, and if you...
DM.
Yeah, DXM. If you use large amounts of it, people can get... if you look it up on the web, you'll see that there have been people that have had some long-term complications. Not necessarily. It's not as predictable as with LSD and ecstasy, but it certainly can happen.
Like what? What's going to happen? Brain stuff?
Again, chronic mood disturbances, panic, anxiety, sort of thing, trouble thinking, memory problems.
But on the other hand, we're proud of you that you can keep going after you've busted a nut.
That's a generous man right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fresh.
I would think so. Did you say not to do that, by the way?
Not to do a DXM?
Don't do that. And don't keep going after you.
Oh, if he's worried about pregnancy, get the girl on the pill. That's what he needs to do. He gets a girlfriend.
But if you keep going...
Condom will break. That's the only downside.
Not slip out the side.
It'll slip off, come out the side.
It can slip out the side. Because it goes in the reservoir tip and then slides down the side and then out the bottom part.
The base.
Oh. I've seen it with my own eyes.
And it slips off and it rips.
I want to see that.
I knew a girl, it came off in her. I didn't. And it was went
can
in
I
there.
Can I see a video?
Yeah. Yeah. We have to retrieve them all the time.
You do? Yeah. Really? And how do you get those out of there?
Pliers.
Back on there's
the
a long
video.
You can go in there with.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the condoms go in that way a lot, too. Well, they're stuck in there. Are you still there?
Next.
No, they're gone.
Who's this?
Oh. They're gone. Drew just effed that thing up right there. Asia, you're 18.
Yes.
What's going on?
Hi.
Okay, hi.
Yay. This is fun.
Basically, my question, issue, whatever you want to call it, is the fact that I'm semi-addicted to sex, but I never had an orgasm. Yeah. Every time I'm having sex, it's like...
This is the beauty of women. To a male, this could never happen. Right? Never happened.
They'd be like, never mind.
Yeah, it would be never mind. But for women, there's an experience they call receptivity that is satisfying to them without an orgasm.
Okay. And this,
that is one
that
of
is the crazy phenomenon that, because like, I've been worried that she didn't have one, but she'll say, like, no, seriously,
she's like,
I'm
this
good.
This is great. This is fine. You're like, what?
Yeah.
No way.
I
impossible.
Just love
can't
the
register
feeling
that.
Of it. That's yeah. all.
You just know that was perfect. Exactly what I
Why
needed.
Is that?
Because they're biologically, they're under hormonal system that's different. Estrogen causes that receptivity, and they are wired differently. If anybody wants any living proof of how profoundly different men and women are, it is this issue, this that's experience. That I find to be one of the most profound dividing points, which is that women can not have an orgasm, have this receptive experience, feel perfectly satisfied, and for a man that is incomprehensible.
I never understood that until this girl finally like grabbed me by my shirt collar. I'm like, I'm serious. I'm great. I'm like, okay. I believe you. That's crazy.
So anyway, in your case, it's a more serious problem because not only are you not having an orgasm, but you're never really fulfilled because you're compulsively pursuing
it. It feels like after a while, it feels like when I think it's feeling good, it starts to feel like I have to pee.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck?
That's just irritation.
Just go. I've heard of girls like that.
Well, some do pee.
Really?
Yeah, some do pee. But that you're just overdoing and just getting irritated. Why are you so sexually compulsed?
I don't know. And, like, I'm not really interested in sex if the guy is not, like, I like to be controlled. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it's a remnant of something that happened to you. Probably, you know, you were terrified being controlled, and that wires that in. That becomes attraction now. That becomes arousal. It's what you need to feel sexual.
Hardwired.
Yeah, it becomes
hard.
Somebody physically abused you or something, and that becomes now wired
in. Well, I was, actually, nothing ever happened, but a guy did, like, try to do something to me in a Walmart when I was, like, 10.
What'd he do?
Oh, in a Walmart?
Which aisle?
Yeah.
I'm terrified just thinking about it.
It's okay. Actually, he just, like, grabbed me. I was in there actually getting art supplies.
Art supplies. Okay. That's aisle 24B. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
He was lifting me up to read something high, but he started to, like, touch me, and I, like, got really freaked out.
Come in and give me a hug.
Yeah. Wait. Did he put his face right in your butt? Like,
I'm
he was
sorry?
Lifting you up, and, like,
his hands went in.
Like, he lifted me up, but he put his hand between my legs to lift me up.
It was an ice skating move.
Oh, my God.
No, definitely serious.
There must have been some more than just that, too.
That's a vaginal lift.
No, that's it. That's it. I mean,
no one ever hit you growing up? You were never struck growing up.
No, Drew, whatever. Let's move on.
I was pretty good.
Next.
Are you really, well, just real quick, are you really truly sexually compulsed, or are you just into sex?
I'm into it, like, all the time. Doesn't matter when, where, how. I just want it.
But with a boyfriend? Or just
I want it.
Yeah, I'm definitely not bisexual. Definitely not.
No, but I mean with the same guy?
No.
Hit me again.
Different guys.
Yeah.
I love it.
Something's up, Adrian. Yeah. Something's up.
Something's up.
Go to the bathroom, have sex.
And with that, and call we go back. To commercial.
All right?
Yep, we do.
Thank you, Asia. We'll be back after this with Nick from 311 and Dr. Drew, and I'm Stryker on Love Lines. All right, we are back on Love Line. I'm Stryker in for Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. And Nick from 311 is here, but he's actually not in the room now. I think he's doing number one. I think he's feeling very, very good, possibly. And, Drew, what's your take on him right now?
He's doing good.
Yeah! Welcome to the game, boys and girls. There you go. Exactly. Nasreddine. 311's going on tour, summer tour, starting June 18th. Greatest Hits, 93 to 03 CD is coming out June 8th. Going to be on Leno. This coming Friday, a week from Friday, June 11th, and 311music.com is the website. And let's talk to, I guess we're going to go to Pat. What's up, Pat? You're 22.
Yeah, not too much. Had a question about being in the military.
Yeah.
Just getting back from Iraq and stuff like that, had that.
Come on.
Okay, what happened?
You mean
no, I got to reset it because I had a script from before, too, so.
Well, so
we need like 10 seconds. So speak amongst yourselves. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So anyway. So hey, what's
so
up,
Pat?
Hold
that
on.
That was
Nick.
Really.
Guy Televoca.
Pat dropped.
Pat is gone now.
No. He's coming.
He's
back.
He's gone. He is.
We're out of respect for his duty that he's performing.
Oh, we're gonna keep him on.
We're gonna keep him on.
Oh yeah. Pat's
right.
And,
cool.
He dropped all the right. S bomb, and so we're gonna reset our hold. So in case he should slip
say
again.
Poopy.
Or
say poopy.
Better yet. If Nick should slip,
right?
Yeah, I had a wave.
I slipped.
We want to make sure we've got the thing all reset and ready to go.
How are your bandmates? They good?
Everyone's fine.
Do you guys need to practice before you do this tour? Is it going to be a new?
Yeah,
you know, what songs you're going to
do? 2 weeks of straight practicing
out here in LA.
Like 6 days a week for
right.
2 weeks.
Nice. Yeah. And then you're ready to go.
Yep.
And how's Tim? Chad? Peanut is. Is Peanut happy because the Lakers are in the finals? I'm sure.
They're all just like.
SA got
ecstatic.
Married.
She did?
Mm-hmm.
Good for SA. What's up, SA?
I'm, by the way, Ann. I'm happy that happened when Adam was not here. Look what she's holding behind you.
What are you holding?
The doorknob
just fell off the door, so we're trapped in here.
It's like when Pennywise was here, but no one's holding us back except the door handle.
No
we're locked in.
No one's throwing up on Drew.
No, that was the time he claimed to have a hand grenade.
Hand grenade. Yeah. I listened to that, too.
Jesus.
A hand grenade.
Okay, Pat, what's going on?
All right, Pat.
So how was it over there?
Pretty bad. Not a lot of fun. But
what was your duty there?
Yours
specifically.
Do you believe in what you were supposed to do there? Do you think it was a good idea?
I believe that's a completely unfair question. Because it's like being on the sidelines and then asking somebody that's playing the game, like, what's going on. Kind of, I don't know, it doesn't really work like that.
How would you describe it in your own terms, then?
Describe what part?
Whatever you want us to know about it.
I don't know. Just as far as that goes, is like what I think of being there and everything else. I mean, it's, I don't know. I can't really put it into very good words. You just have to be there.
Now, why were you allowed, or why are you back home now?
Well, we can't stay over there forever. But I'm heading.
No, you specifically.
Pretty soon anyway.
No, you. I'm like.
Oh, just my unit cycled out.
Okay.
Time was up. Came home.
Oh, it's cycle out.
And Pat, what were your main duties there?
I'm a scout for a mechanized reconnaissance unit.
Which means?
Way out in front of everybody else.
Right. All right.
Sounds pretty hairy.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm trying to give you I'm trying to find out some stuff. Can you give me?
Well,
am I asking
you
the?
What
tell
you
me.
Like to know?
Tell me everything about it. The craziest thing that happened to you when you were there.
Oh. I don't know. Stuff that I thought was pretty crazy probably wouldn't seem like much. And then there were other times that I saw some stuff that I didn't really think was anything, and I'm sure you guys would just be blown away. So,
Pat, were you there? Really?
Yeah. I was there 3 months, one day.
Okay.
We got there
right before the opening of the war.
And then they brought us home right as they were wrapping up, like, the official war anyway.
Yeah.
And we were getting ready to redeploy. It ended up not happening, and we're just getting ready to go back now. I'm with a different unit.
So you're going back out.
A different
part of
the same unit.
I'll be watching you.
Good luck, Pat.
So what is your question?
My question is just what kind of advice could you offer for I've had problems with girlfriends. They'd stay with me, and a couple times in the middle of the night, they'd I guess I don't remember having nightmares or anything like that. I mean, I wake up feeling pretty much fine, but all of a sudden they'd turn the lights on and they'd be on the corner of the bed or clear across the room trying to figure out what was going on with me.
Did you ever strike at them?
Actually, that happened almost once. It was actually the first night I was back in the States. Met up with somebody, and she woke me up rubbing my neck, and I didn't hit her. Didn't touch her, but for a split second, like, I had her up in a wrist lock, and I didn't want to hurt her.
Well, there's a couple things. I understand.
I realized who she was.
I understand. But there are sleep terrors like that that I've dealt with, not uncommonly, the people that work in law enforcement or military. They will wake up in the middle of the night biting, grabbing, strangling, striking people in the next bed. It's not domestic violence. They have no idea what they're doing. It's just the hyperarousal and the reflexiveness that you're trained.
I do anything to them while I'm sleeping. It's just I guess a few of them had said that, like, I'd be twitching around really bad.
All right, but you're getting close to that. And that's so are you surprised then that they might be upset about
Well, not I'm not so much surprised by it, but it's I've noticed that they don't really ever look at me the same after that.
Yeah,
and
it's an uncontained aggression, and sometimes it's part of a bipolar syndrome too. People get manic depression to manifest this sort of thing, and it's not uncommon again. People in law enforcement, those sorts of fields.
But I guess I'm just wondering, like, what I should really do about that, and what I should tell them.
You should have it evaluated, maybe a formal sleep study. And probably see a psychiatrist about this. You may want to talk to your, you know, I don't know what kind of internal resources you have through the military, but you ought to talk to them about this. There may be ways to contain it. Yeah, I mean, you're in a very, your job must be incredible, must be really hairy, and it's gonna affect you. You're it's beyond the normal limits of what a nervous system can handle, and you're reacting to it, and it's gonna be tough for you to have relationships right now because you're going back to Iraq. It's really a tough situation.
Can I also saying that we thank you for going over and doing that, even if it wasn't, like, the most popular thing to do. We thank you for doing that.
Oh, you know, that's cool, but, you know, we do it for each other.
Each one of the people in the unit.
Oh, yeah, it's the guy you're left and you're right. I mean, people talk about home, you know, politics, whatever, but none of that's really what does it. I mean, that wouldn't even get somebody through a fraction of a second. It's just
how much do you sleep when you're in Iraq, Pat? Out of curiosity. Like, is it 2 hours a day? Do it in an hour spurt? How does that work?
Do you guys remember the really really big sandstorm they had?
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on back here because we didn't really get CNN or Fox or anything. Yeah. But there was one big sandstorm lasted a couple days. During the middle of that, I got 6 hours straight of sleep. And that was just, the weather was so bad. Everybody else, I mean, I just found a spot on the ground and crashed. And it was raining. They left me out there. They kind of felt sorry for me. But I was racked out. And that was the most sleep I got. Was 6 straight hours. So other than that, it was usually no more than 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Well, now I can understand why this happens
sleep
to
is
these
so
guys.
Disordered.
Yeah, of course.
And so there must be the physicians that work with the military must see this kind of thing all the time and must have some ideas of what they can do to help you and allow you to deploy at the same time.
And good luck going back, Pat. Let's go to 5. Eric, you're 22. What's up, Eric?
Eric sleeping.
Good night.
There you go.
All right. Pick it, Drew.
Next.
What's up, Casey?
Hey, how's it going?
It's
good.
What's up, Nick?
What up?
What's going on, man? Y'all doing all right tonight?
Oh, feeling good.
All right. Hey, I'm just going crazy over here. We don't even have a radio station that carries Loveline in my town. I'm all cruising around outside of town because there's a city out 90 miles away from us that kind of gets it. We kind of get that radio station.
All right, that's cool, but you got to bring up a question, man. Come on.
Well, first of all, Nick, I was wondering why, if there was any particular reason that you could tell me why y'all aren't hitting up Texas on this tour.
Oh, we'd love to hit up Texas. If you're upset about that, then you should talk to your local promoters because they're the ones that make the deals
to
bring
us
to their town.
But who's a promoter? I mean, the radio, you know,
where do you find a promoter? It's an interesting question. Who are the promoters? Can you become a promoter?
CaseyMotor.com.
Casey become
Texas,
a promoter?
Texas, aren't they the second biggest state in the union?
Call George Bush.
I'll be honest with you. I really would like to play shows in Texas because my mom lives in Corpus Christi. My brother lives in Dallas. I love Houston. I love Austin.
The closest thing to Texas is Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, I went and saw y'all on my birthday last summer. It was amazing. And y'all are, you know, Jim, he had said that... before everything was confirmed, blah, 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 that y'all would be in Austin or Dallas on
my... Going to Guilford, New Hampshire, but not anywhere in Texas. What's up?
No, Austin, Texas.
Wow. All right, what else? What else, Casey? Hurry up, because we got to go.
You drove way outside of town, not just for that. What's going on?
There's thousands of listeners listening.
Question for y'all is, I was at this, you know, romantic evening at the lake with my girlfriend and a couple of friends. And
yeah, this sounds interesting. I want to hear about this. Go ahead.
She busted out the question. You know, she's a virgin. She's, you know, 20 years old, high class girl.
She's 20. She's a high class girl. She's 20 years old.
All right,
she's a virgin.
Talk,
all right, go ahead.
Well, she's, you know, really into me. She never really...
And you got her down by the lake. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and she busts the question out, you know, let's have sex. And she was all drunk and everything. And, you know, I mean, she caught me off guard. I didn't want to, you know, take advantage of her. And
how old is she?
20.
She's 20.
Okay. All right, and so...
High class.
What's your question?
Well, I was just wondering, you know, if it would, you know...
Tight.
Now that it's too late, should I, you know, put a move on her or...
And she's your girlfriend?
How long have you guys been going out?
Well, actually, she lives with me, you know, and my friends joke about it.
Ooh, that's...
And, you know, I like the last guy, or Pat, or Tad, whatever, I'm going to the military in October, too. And she's going to stay and keep...
Thank you for doing that.
I think, she's not 15, she's 20. And as she's sort of declared her major, as we've discussed earlier.
Then do it. Wear a condom. Don't get her pregnant before you're going in. And do it.
Yep.
Right. See, that's
nail her.
That's the last thing the recruiter said was don't get a girl pregnant. Don't get married. Blah, 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 blah.
That's what the recruiter said.
Naylor!
But with the condom.
Right. Striker, I have another question for you.
Yes, Striker.
But who is your favorite band member, 311 band member? Nick,
there,
you gotta say Nick, but
be honest.
Adam Raspler. No, my favorite band member.
Adam Raspler, he's our manager.
Brian Link.
No,
okay, let's see. All right, let's
see. He's our manager.
My favorite
Adam Raspler
in terms of
is really a member of the band.
In terms of my favorite,
he manages us.
Yeah, but if you go with that, he's also a member of Colt.
That's right.
Oh, Striker said Brian Lang.
No,
Brian
hold on, hold on, hold on.
My
Nick,
left.
Nick, hey, you want my favorite member in terms of who I think's got the skills or the nicest? All right,
we're going to.
I'm not answering.
We're going into the world of
Casey.
Fletch.
You rule. I think Peanut
Fletcher's
and
world.
Chad and Tim and SA and Nicholas are lovely, fine, young Omahaans. With fine music, and Nick is very sober, and we'll be back with more Loveline after this. All right, we're back here on Loveline. I'm Striker for Adam, Dr. Drew, Nick for 311. 311 going on tour starting June 18th. If you want to see what cities are going to, it's 311music.com. It's a really good website. Fans are crazy for the band. Very active on the 311 board there. You're going to be in Long Beach on June 22nd, right in the backyard here.
That show is going to go off.
Aren't they all going to go off, though?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, that
this
one
is
especially
fantastic. I can't wait to send you the tape with this. All right, we're going to play a song right now from a man named Zach, last name of Hexum. And in your most eloquent, expedient way, you take it away, Nick. Not expedient enough. Go ahead.
My brother, Zach Hexum.
Jack.
He wrote an incredible song. It's called Met a Girl Like You Once.
Okay, it's called Met a Girl Like You Once. It's been on the OC. It's his brother. He's a cool guy. It's a good song. And we're going to give him a little love right now on Loveline. Hit it, Perez.
I met a girl like you once, except for she had brown hair. And everyone loved her. I mean, everyone loved her. As soon as you learned her name, you became best friends. But they all won. Yeah, they all want more. And when we danced, our eyes they met, and everything seems different now. Somehow different now. And when we talked, we reached some depth, at least as much as we could mind. In between our bump and grind, infatuation begins. Strikes again, and everyone loves you. I mean, everyone loves you. So then I learned your name, and you gave me your number. I can't wait to call you, but I'll wait to call you. And when we danced, our eyes they met. Everything seems different now. Somehow different now. And when we talk, we reach some depth, at least as much as we could find. In between our bump and grind.
Somehow different.
That was Zach Hexum from his forthcoming album on June 8th.
15th.
15th.
Zach Hexum on Loveline. Coming out June 15th.
Yes.
Anything else you want to add to that, Mr. Ling?
Log on to ZachHexum.com. Check out where his record release party is. It's free. It's going to be great.
All right. Very nice. All right. Let's go to Brandy. You're 28 on Loveline. What's up?
Brandy.
Hi. I was wondering if it's normal to have absolutely no sex drive after having a baby.
Yeah, it can be very normal for up to about a year. And think about it from a sort of an evolutionary standpoint. Yeah, nature wouldn't want you out in the, you know, when we were living in the brush, to be having one baby after another. You couldn't care for it. Breastfeeding is another way to sort of prevent yourself from ovulating and also decrease your sex drive sometimes. So if you want to try to restore it,
yeah,
sometimes
how do you
people
do
need to need to make sure there's not a depression adding to this, and then B, sometimes it's something as simple as going on the birth control pill will restore some of the hormones and get things going again.
Okay.
Is that all right, Brandy?
Are you depressed?
No, and I went back on birth control at 8 weeks after birth.
Which one?
Trilevlin.
Okay, so usually the triphasics will kickstart things, but some women it doesn't, so you may be going to monkey around a little bit with the kind of pill you're taking. Okay?
Okay.
Because some women are shut down by that also. How long ago was the baby born?
5 months.
All right, so you're still sort of in a reasonable period of time that women are commonly
okay.
shutting down. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck.
All right. Bye-bye. Go to
thank
Noah.
You.
Noah, 23, what's up?
No, thank you.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hey, Noah.
I had a question. Is not masturbating unhealthy?
No, it's abnormal.
Well, I kind of figured that.
Well, it's worrisome if you don't have the impulse to. It makes you think. It makes me think.
It's not that it's not.
Don't you just want to, like, feel yourself out? Like.
It's not that I don't want to. It's I can't for myself. And even
what does that mean?
Situations, I.
Take your time, man. Just, like, stroke it.
What do you mean? What do you mean you can't do it for yourself?
Stroke it over and over again.
It just. I can't keep it up.
Why?
How many boyfriends have you had?
Actually, I am not gay.
Are you real? Seriously, come on.
No, I'm not.
All right.
I understand. What is the problem? You're not being very clear.
No, I'm just wondering if it's unhealthy.
What's the problem? Why are you not doing this?
I've never found it enjoyable.
Okay, so there's no impulse to do it.
Well, there is an impulse. To want to have a sexual urge, yes, but not to masturbate.
All right, so that means that maybe something biologically, either you've been raised in an environment where things were so prohibitive that you're frightened of doing this, or there's something wrong with the biological urge, which is rather common. Things like pituitary tumors, delayed puberty, there are all kinds of things that can go wrong.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
And if you really, most males can't help this. It's not like
they just want.
Hey, Nick.
It's not like they can just sort of go, well, it kind of be interesting. I kind of have an impulse. No, they can't help it. And if they don't do it, God does it for them at night.
Right.
There's an emission. And that is the way it is, period.
That is so crazy, though, because there was one time I tried to see how long I could go
stroking.
Without masturbating.
Yeah,
and I had trouble one night. I was
kidding.
The hell is going on here?
God,
I sprung a leak
God will
of semen. Yeah.
God will do it for you.
It was in my sixth day only.
And so, no, the fact that it's not happening means there may be something biological going on that really should be looked into.
All right.
The most common thing, really.
Next question.
My experience has been prolactin secreting tumors and the pituitary. They can really suppress testosterone production. There's a book called Man Made out there about a guy who went through this and had similar kind of complaints with Noah.
He's not watching the right pornos.
No, listen, guys were masturbating long before pornos existed. Believe
no.
It. Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
Before magazines?
Of course. What are you talking about, Ling?
Right. We got time for a break again.
We got to take a break. We got more F-bombs to drop with Nick Hexum from 311, his phone number.
Unacceptable.
Thank you. Loveline after
here.
This. More of it. Alright, just about done here with Loveline. Drew, of all the guests you've ever had, where does he rank in terms of...
being done?
That's right.
Nick is number one.
No. More than Fletcher's ever been?
No, I guess Fletcher's, yeah.
Top three, though?
Nick is more gentlemanly.
Nick, do you want to say one last thing without an F-word to you, 311 fans?
I just want to thank all of the bulletin board people out there and all of the hardcore 311 fans out in 311 land. And I want to thank Stryker and Drew and my man Brian Ling because he's my partner in...
Driver.
He's my driver, but he's also my partner. We have ginseng.com.
Karma Sutra.
And we also have whathaveyourecords.com. And Zach Heckam's record.
Not a partner like that, Stryker.
Okay.
Jeez.
All right. Well, thank you for being here, guys. Drew, tomorrow we'll do it again with Andy Dick.
Be nice.
And we'll see what he's on tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It should be fun.
That'll be way easier than us.
Nicholas, I love you. For Drew, I'm Stryker, and everyone here, thank you for listening. I'll see you tomorrow on Loveline. Goodbye.
Oh, just my unit cycled out.
Okay.
Time was up. Came
oh, on. It's a cycle out.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.